Okay, this is an exciting parak. It's similar in the Baal Yerushalmi to the Bavli, but it's exciting in both. Aloch Aleph, right off the top of the Mishnah. Ain Darshin Barayas Bishlosha. One is not allowed to publicly expound on matters of Barayas, of forbidden relationships, with more than three people present in the room. Okay? Already, or too many people here. Three people in the audience. Velo B'maisa Bracious Bishnayim. One is not allowed to expound upon the secrets of the creation of the universe when there are more than two people present in the room as an audience. Now, and the question is, what exactly my separation is. Some say it's a Kabbalistic thing, how God created the heavens and earth. Some say it has to do with nature, the secrets of nature. Some say it has to do with the names of God, which were part and parcel of the creation of the universe. In any event, whatever it is, not with more than two people. Below Merkava, and not with Merkava. Merkava mysticism is a branch of mysticism in which one meditates into a state of altered consciousness and enters the supernal realms and lofty spheres, and enters a different realm of existence than one normally is accustomed to. One is not allowed to do that even biyachid, even with one student. Ella, imkein, unless a chacham is a wise student, maybe midaito understands on his own, in other words, he is already accomplished. The chomistaka bar bodvarim, anything who said four things, roi loki lobom, it would have been better for him not to come to the world, because looking at these four things will drive a person crazy. Malamalon, what is on top, meaning what's beyond space. Malamatzon, what's in below the earth, which I assume in modern terms means what's inside the earth. Malafanim, what was before the world was created. Umalarcha, what will happen after the world is destroyed. In other words, these are basically things which are fruitless to speculate on, so therefore why waste your time? Besides that, they can lead a person into areas which are going to make him go, I don't know if insane is the right word, but are going to lead him to irrational conclusions. Well, that's what we're leading into. Yeah, kosh locha, and the Mishnah gives a parallel statement to this. Kosh locha sel kavod kono. Anybody who is not concerned with the honor of his creator, meaning by intentionally accepting limitations which human being must accept because human being cannot understand everything, roi loki lobaam, it would be better for him had he not been born. Okay, Rabbi Bar B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda. Now everybody has difficulty understanding the next three lines, so I'm just going to give you not the Korban Eda, not the Pnei Moshe, not the Ridbaz, although they're difficult, but my own interpretation here. Rabbi Bar B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Bar named Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion. We do not know where Rabbi Akiva expressed this opinion, but it seems Rabbi Akiva's opinion that one cannot expound on matters of have to forbidden relationships of more than three people listening. But Rabbi Shmuel argues. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel, however, there's a word missing here. It seems like Rabbi Shmuel ain't no, or like Rabbi Shmuel doesn't apply, or something like that. But anyway, Rabbi Shmuel argues. Rabbi Shmuel Tani, Rabbi Shmuel listed in the Brisa, in his Brisos, as Horos, the warnings, La'ovda to the people, Rabbi Shmuel Tani Azaras, he listed the warnings and improper relationships as they appear in the Torah and as the rabbis interpret them. So he expounded, obviously, in public, in the matters of Arias, matters of Jewish life that just create forbidden relationships. So now the Gemara asks on the top of Chesan Beis, La'ovda. Can we do in terms of halacha l'maisa, in terms literally of what we do? How do we rule? So it says, the Rabbi Yami Yossi Masne, I suppose, since Rabbi Yami we saw once was sitting and learning over, as her l'shocheva, warning for somebody who is the initiator in homosexual relationships, Azor Lenishkav, and who a person who is the recipient of the homosexual relationship. So had since he was learning that out and discussed that in public, obviously Hadamras teaches us Alok Krabi Shmuel, Alos Krabi Shmuel was allowed to discuss these matters in public. One does not have to limit one's audience to an audience of three. Okay? So that's where we pass him like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. Right, the love of Maisa Bereshis B'Shnayim, similar discussion about the secrets of the universe called Maisa Bereshis, that you know how to expound them with more than two people present. Right, Bavishim, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Akiva, he's also going to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Shmuel, Darshina, but like Rabbi Shmuel, we do expound on matters of the creation universe in public. Lu'uvda, in terms of what we do in practice, how do we know? How do we decide the matter? We might Rabbi Yudim and Pazi Yosef Darish, since Rabbi Yudim and Pazi and Drush will imminently explore. Said we know, sat and expounded on Bitchila Elamayim b'mayim. Originally, the world was water on water. So Adama is teaching us Haluk Rabbi Shmuel, Luzuk Rabbi Shmuel, since Rabbi Yudim and Pazi discussed this in public. Now, what was this matter which Rabbi Yudim and Pazi discussed? Darsh Rabbi Yudim and Pazi, Rabbi Yudim and Pazi expounded. Bitchila Elamayim b'mayim. Originally, the world was water on in water. Now, there's a beautiful explanation of this, although I think a little bit oversimplified in the Shari Torah Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to give you this explanation of the course of the sugya. He says, originally the world was water upon water. What does it mean? The world was in a state of, it was liquid, it wasn't yet solid, because everything was at such a high temperature, so everything was water on water, meaning liquid upon liquid. There was no solid mass. My time, or Pasuk teaches us this, were the Ruach Elokim Rachavis Apnei Mayim. The Spirit of God hovered on the face of the water. So we see that everything was water. There was no solid earth. Okay? Chazav Aso Sheli. Then Hashem turned around and made it snow. Now, this is not literally snow, but it means something which already is somewhat solid, right? It's solidifying. It's not fully solid, it's cooling, right? So that's what the snow is. As it says, Mashlich Kacho, he sat on his eyes, kifitim, like little pieces of bread. Chazav Aso Eretz, then it finally solidified and became dry land. Kilo Shelig Yomar Heavy Arts, as it says in the Pasuk, snow, he said, become land. V'aretz Omedes Alamayim. The land, however, stands on water. Now, the Shari Torah says, he'll give two interpretations of that. Either it means that the water table is underneath the earth in all places, right? There's water underneath the earth. Or it means that the majority of the earth is still water, right? Because everywhere you go, there's oceans and seas, which still comprise the majority of the water, of the land. As it says, Luraka Oretz Alamayim, God spreads the earth over the waters. Vamayim Omdim Larim, and the waters kind of sandwich the world, because waters run down from the hills and the mountains in order to flow down to sea. So we see there's even water on the mountains. Alohorim, as it says, Alohorim Yandamayim, on the mountains the waters stand. Vaharim Omni Aruach, the mountains stand on the wind. Now here, the way the Shaitar Sotro explains the wind, this means not wind per se, but volcanic activity, meaning that there is all sorts of activity within the earth, which of course creates great turmoil, which is what creates the hills and the mountains.
Many creates great winds.
Right. But this is talking about specifically vis-a-vis the mountains. Okay, what created the mountains?
Great fire creates great wind.
Right. Okay, that could be. I guess because the gusts which come out when the explosions occur and so on and so forth.
Yeah, any great fire will create great wind. Any forest fire will create
a... What about a volcano? That's what it's talking about, though.
Same thing?
It's okay.
It's not the atmosphere, it's... The heat, big forest fire, you'll have forest fighters or firefighters ducking for cover in 70-mile-an-hour winds.
70-mile-an-hour winds. All right. So that makes that to the next context of it's very good, obviously. As it says, Kine Yotzeharim Voiruach, God creates the mountains and makes the mountains and creates the wind. Voiruach Luya Besora. The wind is contingent on storms, and here, of course, he learns that this is volcanic activity underneath the earth. Ruach Sa'ara, the wind of the storm, Osadvaro, performs the word of God. Usa'ara and the storms themselves, even though they seem to be random and independent, Asa'a Kodesh Baruch Hashem made them, Kamin Kamea, like an amulet, Utluya Bezroa, hanging from his arm. Shneamar, as it says, Mitachas Roshom, from beneath the arms of the world, Kinei Yotzeharim, God created the hills and the wind, etc.
In other words, everything is under God's control. Though all these forces are independent, they're all controlled from by God. Period. Now this pasuk, this last pasuk we just quoted, is one of the six psukim Shir Rebbe Korei Osam, which Rebbe would read uboche and cry when he read them. What are these six psukim? It says one of the first one. It says Bikshu es Hashem kol anvei aretz. It says all the meek person or humble people in the world should quest Hashem. And then the pasuk continues, the carbonated rings on the whole pasuk, and it says at the end of the pasuk, Ulai tisasu biyom af Hashem. Perhaps you'll find shelter on the day when Hashem gets angry. So you see, people who are pretty righteous in that they're humble, nevertheless, they are in danger that maybe they'll be saved on the day of God's judgment. They won't necessarily be saved. So that's kind of depressing pasuk. The next pasuk is also depressing. It says, Sinura, hate bad, evil, Veva tov, and love good. And then the pasuk goes on and it says, Ulai yichonen Hashem tzvakos. Maybe Hashem will have mercy upon you. So a person who loves good and hates evil, maybe Hashem will have mercy on him. There's no additional promise any more than that. The next pasuk says, Yitim b'ofar piyul, this is a pasuk actually in Eich, we have coming up at Tisha B'Av. You should place in dirt his mouth. And the pasuk, it concludes, Ulai eshtikva, maybe there's hope. So again, you know, a person is humiliating himself, humbling himself, and maybe he has hope. It's not for sure he has a hope. Vigoma, etc. Kieskoma said, then it says, another pasuk which causes him to cry, it says, Kieskoma said, every deed, Elokim Elokim Yavim Mishpat, God brings in judgment. So from this we see that everything is judged, and of course that is something that causes for fear or for anxiety. Continuing on, by one other pasuk, by Yomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, El Shaul to Shaul, when Shaul raised him by sorcery after his death by the witch in Ein Dor. So he said, Lomir Gastani, why have you caused me to tremble? Hello. So one interpretation of Shmuel said, Lo yolchol argis borecho elabi. You couldn't have made your creator angry except via me, meaning that to engage in sorcery is a heinous crime, and it angers God. So Shmuel is upset that he's the object of Shaul's sorcery, that he's the one who Shaul brought up by means of the sorceress. So he said, and that's what he says here, She'ein ein atoyodea, don't you know, first wide line, She'ekashem she'nifroi minovit, just like to take retribution from the worshipper, which is you, Shaul, they also take retribution from the individual's worship, which you are obviously doing to me by causing me to be born, not worshiping me, but you're causing me to I am in a category.
But he was an onus.
What?
He couldn't help it. He was an onus, right? Shmuel.
Yes.
So why would
it doesn't matter, because even if you're caused for somebody else's sin, even if you didn't intend to do so, you're held liable for that. Not to the same extent as, you know, other things perhaps, but you're held liable for that as well.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
Is this sorcery the words or sorcery that doesn't
work? It's a big discussion between the Rishonim there, the medieval sources. Some people hold that it works, some people hold it doesn't work. There's excellent tape on the topic. It is it's one of the NV series, yes. Yes, it is available. There's a tremendous disagreement as to whether it's sorcery which works or doesn't work, depending on whether you're a rationalist or a mystic or mystically inclined. So obviously that's a big issue in Judaism. So in any event, this is still Rebbe's reason to cry. Rebbe Nasi cried when he got this pasuk. He said, it's a kavachomer. Umayim Shmuel, Rabbi Chol Nevi'im, if Shmuel was the master prophet, Shekasabo, it says,
All Jews knew of His Holiness from Dan to Beersheba, from the very north to the very south. Nisugoymer was afraid of the day of judgment. We certainly should be afraid of the day of judgment. Says the Gemara, and finally, the last pasuk Rebbe used to cry for is Vardain. Is this one which we discussed before? Kine Yotzeh Horim Uvore Ruach. Hashem creates the, makes shapes, forms the mountains, and creates the wind, the Gomer, etc. Afilu Dvorim, and then it says afterwards, later in the pasuk, Magelo Adam Masecho. Hashem tells the person, when he comes to judge him, what his discussions were, what he said, what he conversed in. So this tells us, Afilu Dvorim, She'em Bo'em Chet, even things where there are no Averis. There was just a lack of mitzvah, but not a specific Averis, such as idle chatter. So even these things are written down. Nichtovin L'Adam, written for an individual, Al Pinkaso, on his ledger, to bring to the world to come for judgment. Umi Magid L'Adam, who tells an individual, in other words, how do we find out about this subsequently? In Shemai, so it says, "What I have, the steam which came out of his mouth is preserved and indicates that he was involved in improper activity." Rabbi Chagai, b'shem Rabbi Yaakovit said, "Rabbi Chagai, name Rabbi Yaakovit said, Tsar Harim Uvore Ruach." Yeah, I'm sorry, I skipped a couple of letters because I erased him back to you. He says that this is learned out, as we just said before, from the pasuk that Hashem makes the mountains and creates the wind, and he tells the person what his conversation was. Rabbi Chagai, b'shem Rabbi Yavetz, Chagai, name Rabbi Yavetz, also said, Ilan Tziporoi, those who live in Tziporoi, in the town near the modern-day Tzvas, in the north of Israel, so they learned that Tohu, what does the word Tohu mean, which appears in the second pasuk in Bereishis, second verse in the Torah. So Tohu means Choshech, darkness, Vafela, and super darkness. So Tohu is a sign of darkness which exists at the time. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda said, Adjianu Shol Akilas Hagir. Hadrian, the king, asked Achillas, his nephew, converted to Judaism. Now, it's not clear if Achillas is Unclus or not. Seems somewhere he is, seems somewhere he's not. But it's not clear whether he is or not. So, yeah, he asked his nephew, Achillas, who was Megayer, I think it was his nephew, Kushti Natu Nomri, the Hein Amokai Marucha, is it true that what you said, that this world is sustained by wind? Harmalay, he said yes. So the emperor Hadrian said, "In Hainat Moideli, from where can you prove this to me?" Harmalay, so he said to him, Achillas said to Hadrian, "Isli Hugnin, bring me young camels." Isli Hugnin, they brought him young camels. At Inu Tainan, he loaded their loads on their backs. Akimun Varbun, and he made them get up, the camels, get up and sit down, get up and sit down. Nastun, he tempted this, the Chankon, and they all died from the labor. Amarlay, so he said, Hey Lecha, then he came up to the Hadrian, the emperor, and said, Hey Lecha, Halachav Akimino, take it, they picked it up. In other words, they're all lying dead on the ground. Pick them up. Amalei, so the emperor said, Mindachan Kintun, once you suffocated them, you want me to pick them up? What good do they do me? What am I supposed to do with these dead servants? So he says, these dead camels. So he says, Amalei, so he says, Akila said, Klum Chasar Tanun, that caused you any loss? Laruchot the Nafkuminen, all I deprive them of is their breath. Right? They're out of breath, quite literally speaking. So he's saying, You see that life is contingent on breath. Okay, like I say. And that's why, of course, we have this halacha too, that life is contingent on the breath. As long as a person breathes, he's soon to be alive. And it's also why Unklus, when he wants to translate in, we don't know if Unklus is Achilles, but when Unklus wants to translate, Vayibach Badav, Bapav Nishmas Chaim, Hashem blew into the nostrils of man the breath of life. So then, our Unklus there translates what Nishmas Chaim means, Ruach Memalula, a speaking spirit. Why is that? Because the primary characteristic of the human being is his spirit, not in terms of his spiritual thing, rather his breath with which he can enunciate words, which an animal cannot do. Okay? Says more further.
So the nefesh
chaya
is the breath.
Is no, the neshama is. Actually, the ruach is. It's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. So the ruach is. That's what we're talking about, the ruach, the breath of life.
There's a famous poem.
What poem?
Robert,
do you want
Paul.
This on tape?
No.
So it says more further. So obviously Ra'ul Achilles proved this point. Now going to Maaseh Merkava. V'lo Merkava Yochi, you cannot expound on the Maaseh Merkava, on this meditative mysticism, even with another individual. Says more, Odi Krabi Kiva, Zala Krabi Kiva as well. Says more, no, Divya Koli, everybody agrees. Why? Person that's known to conserve the honor of his master, of his creator, of Hashem. We don't tamper with what they call the heebie-jeebie stuff, unless you're very, very knowledgeable already. So it has to be that the student who's learning it is knowledgeable. It's not like these idiots nowadays who go and teach Kabbalah to Madonna. You know, this is not exactly... I don't know if you're allowed to mention her name in the base medrash, but this is not the real Kabbalah which we're talking about here.
Were you invited? You too teach Kabbalah to Madonna.
I hope I will be able to retain my integrity to the point that I did not do so. I realize it would be difficult, but I hope I'd be able to maintain my integrity. So in any event, so Kate said it was. Locate Amar Abdin Rab say Anadam Rashailu Mar Dover Kineged Rabo. Person can't say anything about his in front of his Rebbe. Eli Kate Rao Shemesh, unless he already has seen or served his Rebbe intensively. So to the same thing, you can't have a student enter into the secrets of his master, meaning Hashem, unless he's already been serving intensively and has an intuition and an act for this. So Ketzeroy, so how does it work? Bischilo Rabbo Poseach Lo, first his Rebbe starts telling him, Roshet should be Prokim. General outlines of Kabbalah, right? And then the student starts saying things, top of his testimony, Umaskim. And the Rebbe sees if he agrees or not. In other words, you can't impart them directly at first. You have to give him some questions and roundabout information, and he has to construct with them, and if you can construct with them properly, then you can continue to impart them the rest of the wisdom. The Rebbe Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Talmid Vasi Koyel Ol Rebbe, Rabbi Danasi had a certain elder student, V'Dorash Perek Echov Mais Merkava, and this student expounded on a chapter in the Maaseh Merkava, in the mysticism of the chariot. V'loi skima daito sherebi, Rebbe did not agree to the drasha, v'loka b'shchin, and therefore the student got some skin affliction similar to leprosy. Okay? I guess you have to have been there, but it seems like it was, since he wasn't involved with his Rebbe at the time that he was learning properly, he didn't fully understand and nevertheless he went out and expounded, so therefore he had to be punished or something to that effect. Okay? I says Gemara, HaTorah Zeh, our Torah, Doim L'Shneishun, it's like two roads, Echot Shel Ur, one of fire, Echot Shel Shelig, one of snow. He Tabizeh, if you go too far to the one road, Mace Be'ur, you die in the fire. He Tabizeh, if you go too far to the other road, Mace Be'Shelig, you die in the cold. Maya said, what should you do? You halach bam. So you have to go in the middle. In other words, don't take any chances to go into too extreme in any direction. Okay, unless you're, of course, very secure in yourself.
This is not in the Bible.
What? No, it's not in the Bible. Not that I remember. It's been a long time. I remember it.
Why not?
Why not? There are different prices, which are in different stories. Different. The two Talmudim complement each other. They don't mimic each other.
Is there a specific reason why that?
We don't know. We don't know. It sometimes there might be, but we're not privy to it. It doesn't tell us explicitly. We don't know.
Just seems to be very practical advice that's not necessarily adhered to nowadays.
The golden mean. Okay, now the next part is in the Bavli. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was an episode which occurred with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shamal Chaderach, he was going down the road. Rochev al Chamor is riding a donkey. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, one of his students, Malach Achrof, was following on the ground. Amar lo, so he said to his master, Rebbe, my master, Hashineini, teach me Perek El Ma'aseh Merkava, one chapter of Ma'aseh Merkava, of these secrets. Amar li, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what can I do? Lokach shonu chachomim din chachomim, learn lo merkava, what is out the darshan in these esoteric realms. Elo in Cain, unless Hoya Chacham, the student is a wise man who maybe he'd like to understand intuitively on his own. Amalo, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe, my master, Tarsheni Lomar Dover Dover Lefanech, let me say something in front of you. Ani, yeah, what about this word I need here? I guess it means Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Ani Amar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan said, I said to him, Amor, say it and say it. Came to Jepos, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, ben Maisim Rekova. Once Rabbi Elazar ben Arach opened his mouth and started expounding on the episode which has to do with the vehicle and chariot of Hashem and Shemayim, whatever that means. So obviously this meditative mysticism. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got off his donkey. Yorlo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ben Achamor. Amar lo, Amar, he said, why am I getting off? Ein Abedin, it's not proper. Shato Shomer Kvod Koni, that you hear, Shai Shomer Kvod Koni, that I hear the honor of my master with such profound secrets, Vani Rochuva Achamor, and I ride on a donkey. So he got up and walked by foot. Hochuva Yashulam Tachsi, and they went and stood underneath a tree. The Yoda Eishmin Hashamayim, a fire came down from the heavens, Vikivo Summit surrounded them. For you, my Lochi Hashorish Mikapsin Livneim, the angels of heaven were dancing in front of their Knei Chupa, like people at a wedding, Smech Livnei Achoson, rejoicing before the groom. In other words, they were so happy that they were learning such profound secrets that they rejoiced and sang before them. Okay? Nen Amalcha Vitochesh, one of the Malachim spoke out from, one of the angels spoke out from among the fire. Armei said, Kidvarecha Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, like you said, Elazar ben Arach, Kedu Ma'aseh Merkava, you're talking right. That precise is what Ma'aseh Merkava is all about. Miyad Pasul Kol Ilonis, and all the trees open up, PM their mouths, Vomur Shir, and they said praise to Hashem, obviously not literally, but figuratively speaking. Ozi Hanukkah, Sayyaras, it says, then they rejoiced, all the trees of the forest. Came at Shagom Reb Elazar ben Arach, Ma'aseh Merkava. What's Reb Elazar ben Arach? And completed his discussion of Ma'aseh Merkava. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai stood up, and Noshka Rosho kissed him on his head. Vamar, he said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Blessed is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shenosu Avraham Avinu, who gave Abraham our father, Ben Chacham, a wise son. The Odeli Drosher knows how to expound the covet of Yishma Shemai, the honor of Father in heaven. Yes, Luchon Odeli Drosher, they're people who are good speakers. They don't know Mekai, but don't fulfill the mitzvahs that well. No, Mekai, you have people who fulfill the mitzvahs well. They don't know Drosher, they don't expound upon them so well. Elazar ben Aruch, our hero of the story, Noah Doresh, he expounds nicely for Noah Mikayim, and he fulfills nicely as well. In other words, he's both pious in his activity and knowledgeable in his mind. Says the Gemara, Ashrech Avraham Avinu. Praise you, Avraham Avinu. Shiatzim Mechatzach, they're issued forth from your loins, Elazar ben Aruch. Eventually, many years later, Elazar ben Aruch. The came which is Shamar Rabbi Yisav HaKoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano. Once Rabbi Yisav HaKoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, two Amoroyim in the land of Israel, heard this, actually, they might have been Tanoim. Once they heard this episode, Avheim Paschu Ma'is Merkava, they also want to get the benefit of Ma'is Merkava, of learning this mysticism. Amru, they said, there was such a powerful event when these Amoroyim learned Ma'is Merkava, that they said it was Yom Aruf at Kufas Tamosoya. It was the first day of summer. The Rosh Arts, despite the fact that it never rains then, the land quaked. Venera Sarkeshus, and even though it's not rainy season, the rainbow was seen, going on in the clouds. But you also Basco Vorman, a voice came out from heaven and said, Vorman said to them, Harei Amokom Panui Lochem, the place in heaven when you die, since you've been such experts in Ma'aseh Merkava, is prepared for you. Vatrakli Mutzal Lochem, the great hall is prepared for you. Atem for you, Vatamilchem, and for your students, Muzumani Mekash Lushis, who are destined to be part of the third group out of seven who sit in Olam Haba in hierarchy of their significance. Okay? Vasakaman Damar, the score according to opinion holds, Sova Smochos is Panecho. It says, satiation of happiness is with you. But we learned that satiation of happiness is not Sova, but Sheva, seven. And it means Sheva Kitzo Shul Tzadikim L'Asi Lavo. There are going to be seven groups of Tzadikim in the world to come, and you'll be among the third. Shum Maisib Rabbi Yeshua. There's another Maisib with Rabbi Yeshua, Shemarach Baderach. He's walking down the road. Uben Zoma Bar Kenegdo, Ben Zoma's coming opposite him. Shal Bishlomo. So Rabbi Yeshua asked Ben Zoma, how's it doing? V'lo Yeshivo. Ben Zoma didn't answer. Wouldn't respond. He was lost in thought. Amalos, he said, may I, to catch his attention, may I line from where and to where? Ben Zoma, where you come from, where you going? Right, he asked the question in order to get to respond. So says the Gemara, Ben Amalos, he said to him, I was gazing at the creations of the heavens, and he says, very interesting thing, there's no difference from between the water above and the water below. Maximum, the size of a tefach, of a hand breadth between the two of them. It's considered to be an amazing statement. When Gemara goes on to say, Nehemiah, how does he prove his point? Nehemiah kan Rechov, it says here, hovering. But Nehemiah Lalan, it says later on, Kinesher, like a eagle, your ear Kino awakens his nest. How goes the love of Yerachev? He hovers over his chicks. Ma'arichu Shenamar Lahalot. It's like the hovering over there. Nogeh ve'nogeh, you touch, you don't quite touch. Right? Just like he hovers over it. af richu v'nemar kan, so to hear the haring, which is stated over here, it's also the same type. What does he say? It says, no gea ve no gea. Now to, it doesn't actually, the waters don't actually hit each other. Now, obviously this is a very, again, let me go a couple more lines. Amar Yeshua, Tamina Yeshua said to the students, Harei Ben Zom Bachutz. Ben Zom was already on the way out. V'loi Yom Yikayim, not too many days passed, Achnifter Ben Zom until Ben Zom died. That was an interesting thing. What are the upper waters and the lower waters? You know, it's not so simple to understand what exactly they mean, and certainly, obviously, Ben Zoma understood it and came to this conclusion, what is on his way out as a result. I don't know if we want to understand exactly what it means. But what it means in broad terms, Reb Tzadok explained, is that the waters on high are the water, are, so to speak, God's influence on us. And the waters below are yearning towards God. It says, Kamayim aponim el aponim ken lev adam el adam, I think it is. It's, just like water takes on the shape of the vessel, which is spilled, so too our relationship with Hashem takes on the shape of the relationship which we evince towards Him. So the way Ben Zoma understood it is that there's no the water, so to speak, of the higher realm can touch the water of the lower realm. Meaning a person can uplift himself to the point where he no longer needs the lower realm and can transcend it. Right? That's what he's saying. Obviously, we don't hold that way. We don't hold that that's possible. But Ben Zoma held that way. And since Ben Zoma held that way, he said there's no difference between the lower waters and the upper waters. The lower waters can come into contact with the upper waters. There can be fusion between ourselves and Hashem. And the other opinion held, no, there can be no fusion. There has to be distinction between the heaven and the earth. It's too dangerous to even contemplate there being fusion. Because if there's fusion, A, to fuse with God means by definition you cease to exist. But it's worse than that. It's a form of haughtiness. Because who are you to say you can bind yourself to God?
Why fusion? Why binding? Why not? Is the form of insight something that's otherwise
This is a meditative discipline. Bear in mind, Ben Zoma actually saw waters. It wasn't a metaphor. He was walking around in the state where he was seeing waters and waters touching. That's the danger. It was just an intellectual, you know, allegory, then there wouldn't be any dangers. But the idea of the meditation, Ari Kaplan, his books about meditation, says, be careful when you try this one, because you might not come back. Right? And that's what happens with Ben Zoma here as well. He doesn't come back, so to speak. Okay? So it's not clear ever from the Gemara, he didn't come back because that was it. You know, we
is
just...
that because in a state of, in a meditative state, he imagined a metaphor as a reality?
Something to that effect.
So it doesn't exist as a reality, but his mind.
I immediately said that and I regret it. No. It means he actually entered into the metaphor. What opened up in the chambers of his mind was real for him. It wasn't even imagined. It's kind of like a prophecy.
Kind of like Alice in Wonderland.
Well, only that Alice managed not to die.
Except that he built his daughters.
Mary Poppins went into the future.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of Talmudic literature called a Cholos. You know, and it's not part of the Talmud itself, but it's contemporaneous. But it describes various different levels one enters in a meditative state and wants to get to higher levels of penetration to the higher realms. Okay?
But that's not mystical necessarily.
What would you call it?
I didn't say it wouldn't be mystical. It's not mystical necessarily.
No, it could be. It's not necessarily mystical. Kabbalah is not always necessarily mystical. Kabbalah can be
meditation.
Right.
Meditation is a physical.
Meditation can be a physical thing too, but the idea here is assumed to be mystical, and that's why he died. Okay, so again, it's not clear if it's because he entered his the state to such a great extent, or because he might not have been worthy. Because he was doing something which he wasn't entitled to do. He was stretching beyond where he was allowed to stretch. And that was the problem.
It could just be a difference in theology.
Because he died.
And what killed him?
That we don't know.
Could what have killed him be what he released within his mind?
Yes.
Since that would be a medical definition?
Yeah, it's a
medical definition that he was in coma. He had a high fever and he was hallucinating while he was in coma.
Okay, well, that's one way. But let me give you another medical.
That's an interesting.
Another medical explanation that he was able to create through a meditative state. That occurs when you are in the process of dying, and that the tunnel of light, the metaphorical visions that are known to patients who are in the edge of death or actually succumb to technical death, can be triggered through meditative action if you get into it deeply enough. That those endorphins are not only protect the mind from the reality of death, but may in fact help enhance or trigger it, or that you know, and that you can meditate yourself to death.
All this is possible.
Is that not medically?
Sounds great.
Plausible?
Well, there was a psychosomatic illnesses that can lead to people dying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got
says more further. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi b'shem Rabbi Yossi Yossi said, Shlosh ha'ir tzu toraso. Three people set over their Torah, and here we meet to the Torah of Merkava. Lifnei Rabban in front of their Rabbeim. Rabbi Shul lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Shul did before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva did before Rabbi Yeshua. And Chanina bar Chachinoi lifnei Rabbi Akiva did in front of Rabbi Akiva. Nikam ve'ech v'yir ha'anin. Ein da'at in Akiva people do not have the proper mindset for it. Now, as a result of not having the proper mindset, that's why our Kabbalah is not our Kabbalah anyway. It's like a vicious cycle. If you don't have the proper mindset, you can't enter the field, the rarefied air of Kabbalah. And if you do enter the rarefied air of Kabbalah, the Kabbalah you're knowing is not real Kabbalah. In other words, we could open the same text, which people were able to open in the times of the Talmud, and we're just going to read them as mumbo-jumbo, or even if we say have a good understanding, it's an intellectual understanding. But their experience of Kabbalah was to go up, even though it was in their mind, not physically, to go up to the Olam HaSolyanim, and that's why it was a completely different type of experience.
Doesn't it also relate to the old scientific saw that which is observed can never be the same once it's in the process of observation?
I don't know if that's true. I don't know, because they didn't understand it anymore, if that's what you're referring to. It's not that they achieve higher levels of understanding.
No, that it's still Kabbalah. It's still a method toward an end. And once you,
where people enter the supernal realms, here likened to an orchard, echad etzis umeis, one gazed and died. That's Ben Zoma. Echad etzis nifka, one gazed and went crazy. That's Bat Ben Azai. Echad etzis, one gaze, v'kitzis b'netils, and he literally chopped down the saplings. It means that he went off and became irreligious. Echad nichas b'sham, one went in peace, the other b'sham and went out in peace. Benazai etzis v'nivka, Benazai looked and went crazy. All of our custom armor concerning the pasuk says, "Dvash matzasa." If you find honey, echol da'echa, eat it up, but don't overindulge. Ben Zoma, as we learned, he gazed and he died. Olav HaKos of Omer, concerning the pasuk says, Yoker in Hashem, difficult in the eyes of God, literally weighty in the eyes of God. Hamas Chasidim is the death of his pious ones. Echad Eitzitz V'kitzim in Tios, one case, and become an apikores, came heretic. Who's that? Acher, Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, Shehoreg Rabbi Torah, used to kill the masters of Torah. Not necessarily literally, but he used to, you know, abjure and denigrate the masters of Torah. They said, Kol Tamid Chamle Mishabech Braisa, every student he saw growing in Torah, have a Kotele. He used to kill him. Now, not necessarily kill him. Look at this. This is interesting. You're not going to like this one. V'lo nali that, get ready to be upset. El Dav Ola Beis Vadi, it's going to Beis Medrash. V'av Acham Italian, he saw young men, Kumisar for in front of their teacher. V'av Arman, he said, it's like Bialik. Ma Ilan Yasvin Avdinacha, what are these young men doing, wasting their time in the Beis Medrash? Umnusei Dehein, Banoi. This guy should become a doctor. Oh, it doesn't say doctor. No. Sorry. It says a builder. If they say the hey Nagar, this guy should become a lawyer. No, it doesn't say that either.
No, it would not.
No, it says a cobbler. Sorry. Different gears. If they say the hey Zion, the craft of this individual should be a hunter. If they say the hey Chayat, and the craft of this guy should be a tailor. Came and David Shimon came once these yeshiva bachim heard, oh, we should go out and get a job, we shouldn't fetch the bench anymore, as they say. So having Shopkin lay, they left the Beis Medrash Boz and lay and went off to the professions which they were designated to by Acher. All of Akosav Omer concerning this, now it seems, it's not clear, but the court made says it seems these were his own kids, that they had great potential as scholars, and he sent them out to become craftsmen. So all of Akosalama concerning the person says, Altina's Petita's Pichel, do not allow your own mouth, meaning Acher's own mouth, Lachti's Pichel to cause sin to your own flesh, meaning here his own children. Shechibo Maisa Yoda, he ruined his handiwork, meaning his children, his offspring, Shoso Ish of that individual. Oh, Bishras Aksa, and this is an interesting thing, Acher used to undermine the Jews in times of travail. Shas Aksa means times of trouble. Have a Martinelli, for example, they used to make Jews work on Shabbos. They used to make them carry packages in public domains. So have a Martinelli, they used to put upon them loads. For a Miskavni Mitun, so they intended to take Trey Chad Matul. Two people should take one load. Why is that? Because the two people do one malacha, they're potter. But Acher, he went to the Romans and said, or the Greeks, wherever it was, I think the Romans, he said, Omer, he said, Nada, Atuni Chidoid, give each one of them their own package, today, in order that they should transgress Shabbos, because each one was doing the work on his own. Asin Batini Chidoid, so they went and gave each person their own load, Vamiskavni Mifrok, but they still stopped with their packages to rest, literally to take it off, but to take it off rest, but karmelis, in an area which is not a rishus ayachid, nor a rishus arabim, neither public or private domain, but rather neutral zone, so it wouldn't be a Torah prohibition. Shalotim rishus ayachid, rishus arabim, in order not to take out directly rishus ayachid, rishus arabim, from public to private domain, which is forbidden, and their excuse was, it's a heavy law, we have to rest for a moment. Omar, so he said to the Romans, Atinan sluchin, give them plates. Now, with light loads, so they won't have an excuse to stand and rest for a few moments. So, Azimitin and Sulchanun, they gave the plates, so no longer an excuse to rest. Okay, we're going to come back to Acher tomorrow. In the meantime, Rabbi Akiva, Nichlas B'Shalom, he came back, went in peace, came by Yod B'Shalom, and he came out in peace. Rabbi Akiva is the one who learned Kabbalah successfully, Maisa Merkava successfully, he was okay. All of the cost of Oymer concerning Rabbi Akiva the Great, it says, Oymer, Mashcheni Acherechot Naruta, draw me after you, I will run. Right now, getting back to Acher. Right, Meir Avi Yosef Kudarish Beveis Medrash, Odit Verio. Rav Meir was sitting expounding in the Beis Medrash in Tveria. Avra Elisha Acher Rabbe, who was his Rebbe, passed by Rochi Valsusaya Biyom Shubsa, riding on a horse of Shabbos. Atsun Vomrin late, so they still came and said to Rav Meir, Harabba Chabari, your Rebbe's outside. Your rabbi's in the car outside. Fasak leaving drosha, so I made a stop darshening. But now he went out to greet his rabbi. His rabbi is probably in Bermuda shorts, you know. Amalei, so he said, Ma visa darish yomadei. What were you learning? Acha said, Rameir, what are you learning today? Amalei, so he said, Vashem be reach eskola sherliyo. And so the pasuk, the verse says, Hashem blessed everything which Eov had. The Mishnah double. All right, skip one. Hashem Reach Sachris. Hashem blessed the end of Eov. Armalei, or the end of Job. Armalei. So Reacher said, what did you learn about this pasuk? With what did you open up the pasuk? In other words, how did you explain? Armalei, so he said, I explained it. The end of Eov was blessed by Yesiv Hashem as Kol Shirli Eov. Hashem blessed everything Eov had. Lemishta double. Shekafalos kamamona, he doubled all his money. Our master Emir said, "Hey, why the muvdinin? Woe to that with those who we lost. Lomishkachim, we no longer find." In other words, this is the type of time of chacham we have today. Akiva Rabcha love a darish cave. Akiva Rabbi, he wouldn't darish like this. Would you give a much superior drasha? El Rabbi said, "Vashem beirachis leachris Eov." Maybe she's so. Hashem blessed the end of Eov. Maybe she's so, not more than his beginning, as Rabbi Meir was explaining, but from his beginning. Because the merit of the mitzvahs of good deeds that she had to begin with, that's why Eov's end was blessed as well. Amalei, so Rabbi Acher continued, and asked Amalei, Amavi Starsha to Tuvan, what else did you darsha? Amalei, so he said, I darshan this pasuk. Tov achris tov reshiso, not a pasuk by Eov, but a pasuk in Koheles. Good is an end from a beginning. Amalei, so I acher sado mapasach tebe. How did you open up the pasuk? How did you discuss it? Amalei, so he said, lo adam sholi bani mina ruso. It's like a person who gave birth in his youth. Umesim ziknuso, and they died in his old, umesim, they died. Was a gnuso, and in his old age he gave birth, this guy one day survived. Have a tov achris darmen shiso, so that's the end is better than the beginning. So he said, He did merchant, went out to be a business in his youth. Vivsid, and he lost. It was a gnuso, and he went out in his old age. He stock and he made money. Have a tov achris darmen shiso, that's better than the end and the beginning. Or Lord him Shlomo Terman Arusa, he learned in his youth. The Shochan, he forgot it. Uv Ziknuso in his old age, Rekimon, he sustained it. Heavy Tov Achris Tavar Meir Shiso, that's better the end, the beginning. Omar, so again, Achris said, Vay the Movdim Velomishkachi. Woe to those which we lost, we not forget. Akiva Rabcho, Lava Dorish Kane, he didn't dash like that. El Tov Achris Tavar Meir Shiso, Bizmanchu Tov Meir Shiso. Good is a thing in the end from its beginning. A thing is good in the end when it was good in its beginning. So that refers back to Acher himself. We're going to see that tomorrow. Acher himself, he wasn't good at the beginning, so that's why at the end he wasn't good either. Mm-hmm. So that's what it'll come back to.
Koheles?
What? Yeah, this is all from Koheles, right.